Isaiah chapter 5. And let us read responsively from verse 8, right, all the way to verse 30. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 8, all the way to verse 30. I shall begin with verse 8. Okay, verse 8. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an homer shall yield an ephah. And the harp and the viol and the tabret and pipe and wine are in the feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cut rope. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. Whose arrows are sharp, and all their bows bent, their horses' hoofs shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Together, verse 30, and in that day they shall roar against them like roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. The Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. Last week we saw the parable or the song that was given to Isaiah to be sung to the people. And this song is a song about a vineyard. The problem was not with regard to the person tending the vineyard. The problem was in the vineyard itself. This wine fruit, given proper treatment by the husbandman, and we learn from the explanation that was given by the Lord himself, that the husbandman is the Lord, and the vineyard would be Israel herself. Israel was expected to bear forth good grapes, but what was born was wild grapes. Wild grapes are very sour, very withered, because when you have grape vines out there in the wild, they are not looked after. And so all the branches that take away nutrients from those branches that bear fruit, it would leave no nutrients remaining behind for all these fruitful branches, and therefore the fruit that you get will be very withered. Now, when you look after a wine, you expect the wine to be able to produce good fruit for you to be able to consume. But what the husbandman found was that despite his very good care of the vineyard, what remained behind were fruits, were grapes that were equal to that as found in the wild. That is Israel for you, because God expected Israel to bear good spiritual fruit unto him, but instead of good spiritual fruit, what he found were wild grapes. And that is what we pray is not true with regards to our lives. And so, the Lord now is going to emphasize in the rest of Isaiah chapter 5, what exactly are the wild grapes that he has found in Israel, or rather in Judah. Right? Here that pertains more to the southern kingdom. What are these wild grapes that he hated so much? So much so that he would pronounce woe unto all these people who followed after these things. Woe. And this is not something that is very nice to hear from the Lord. We often have this picture in mind of God, who is someone who is very loving and very kind, very compassionate. And that is true. God is indeed such a God. But very often the world does not like to talk about God as a God of holiness and as a God of judgment. And thereby they became very lax in terms of their living. And that is where we have God's people being very, very spiritually sleepy. And not just spiritually sleepy, but actually there is a lot of spiritual sickness in the church, whereby when you examine the sins that are written down here with regards to the nation of Israel, you will realize that these sins are very often also found in the church. And we pray that these sins will also not be found in our life. Six major sins that are condemned by the Lord in verses 10 to 30. With verses 26 onwards, right, more about the judgment that will come upon these people. The first one can be found in verse 8. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Okay, now Gideon. Is it okay for somebody to be a property magnate and be a Christian? Yes, sir. Property tycoon. Can? What will a property tycoon do? Not property agent, different. Property tycoon. Agent only broker the sale of property. What does a property tycoon do? Okay, control the sales. Are you sure you only control the sales? You know what they will do? No, Gershon, can you help your brother? You don't know, cannot. Metal tires, you know. Don't know what property tycoon will do. They buy up properties. And then after that, the property value rise, and then they either sell the property or they hold on to property depending on what they like. They'll speculate about all these things, right? And so they would like to buy property after property. And sometimes you realize they will buy one piece of property. After that, they'll buy the piece of property that is opposite. And then after that, soon they will buy land after land until they own a big plot of land full of properties. Right? You know who is a very good property tycoon? Famous one now? Of course, President Trump. That's right. Donald Trump is a property tycoon. Okay, that's what they do. Okay? So, all those who call themselves Christians and they go and buy up house to house, right? They go and buy houses to houses. Therefore, woe will be to them, right, Gideon? Yes, sir. You sure? You look carefully. Woe unto them that join house to house. So if I buy separate properties everywhere, they are not joined together, it's okay, right? No, not okay. Now, please understand that verse 8 to verse 10 does not say that it is wrong to be a property tycoon, okay? Now, we are not saying that please go and lust after properties and buy them, and then in the end, right, you go after the things of the world. We're not saying this. But if you happen to be rich enough, the Lord give you rich enough resources, so much so that you just use 10% of your resource and then you can buy up so many properties, then okay, fair enough. Or you happen to be an inheritor of property, fair enough. But what is stated down here in verses 8 to 10 really is another type of sin. And this type of sin is what we call the sin of encroachment. What do we mean by encroachment? You have to understand, firstly, with regards to the land that was given to the children of Israel. Now, in the book of Joshua, you will read about the children of Israel after they have conquered both the cis as well as the Transjordan side. Okay, firstly, the trans, they conquered it. Then you have 2.5 tribe at the Transjordan. You know what is Transjordan? Can you remember? Okay, how to draw the map of Israel? Can you remember? Big J, small J. Good. Here's something that looks like a harp, right? That will be your Sea of Galilee. Can you see? Maybe I should draw higher. This board is new for cleaning. If this board is Rachel around here? Yeah, if this board is used for Hebrew, the students will be very perplexed because they have so many dots, after a while they will be very confused. Okay, big J, small J. And the tip down here, like a harp, that would be Galilee. After that, another larger body of water, that will be your Dead Sea. Lowest point of the earth, so please don't continue down, okay? Lowest point in the earth already, water flows down there, don't flow up, right? Unless you have a motor or engine to pump it. So down here, stop already. Okay, so this one down here will be what? Your River Jordan. So on the right side of Jordan, this will be called Transjordan. On this side, it will be called Cisjordan. And especially if you study higher chemistry, you should not forget because you have what you call cis-tran polymer. Right? True? Cis-tran polymer. You see, my friend Dorothy nodded her head. She still can remember after years and years. She still can remember. Cis-tran polymer. Yes, Eunice, you take chemistry also, is it? That's why you see Eunice. Well, no, cis-tran polymer. So that's how you remember. Cis-tran. Cis, left-hand side. Trans, right-hand side. So the children of Israel, they attack this way first. 2.5 tribes here. After that, then they conquer this portion of the land that is called yours, Cisjordan. Okay? So after they conquered Cisjordan, what happened was they needed to divide the land among the tribes. And so they divided the land by lot, of which they would treat the lot as the Lord's direction as to which plot of land they are supposed to take. And so, that plot of land that was given to them will be the land in which the Lord says, this land is given to you. You are to be a steward of this particular land which I have given unto you. No other body is supposed to come and then take the land away from you. This is what is given to you. You'll be a good steward of this land and make sure you tend it and be diligent and shine for the glory of God with this resource which I have given to you. And so, once this land is given to you, you cannot pick and choose what you want. Let's say if the Lord assigned you to go to the beach, you cannot say, everyday beach, I now want to smell mountain air, and then you decide to move to the mountain. Wow, mountain air, very sweet. I want to go there. I want to build my resort there. Every time at facing the South China Sea, right? I said, no, you have your property at East Coast or West Coast. Well, face South China Sea, I don't want. I want now to have property at Cameron Highlands. So go and build a property there. Now, today you can. But with regards to Israel, remember, they are different. Okay, they are a spiritual nation. They follow the rules which God has set to them. And God says, this is the land we have set for you. You do not go anywhere. You just stay here. They must stay there. Okay, so if you are given a beach resort, you stay at beach resort. You don't go for mountain air. And if you are given mountain air, you cannot say, I stay every day, I smell mountain air, and then therefore I want the beach. No, okay? And one particular tribe tried to do that, and that will be the tribe of Dan. The tribe of Dan, originally very close to the coast. After that, they decided to move up. Right? Down here, the closest to modern-day Syria. And over there, right, they killed the people of Laish, and then they established Dan down there. And today, Dan is a place whereby if you go, wow, very nice, almost feel very tropical, except the weather is a little different. Everything looks tropical, but feels cooler than Singapore when I went. Then, but don't be fooled by the peace that you have there, because that, if Syria comes and attack, that will be the first place which will be attacked, because after that is the border facing Syria, and Syria is on highland, and so they will shoot downwards. If you're on lower geography, you're always at a disadvantage. Right? So that it will be the place now, today. But in those days, well, Dan went, and then they conquered it, and because of that, God was not happy. So this was what God has determined for the children of Israel. And if you therefore are given this land, you are not allowed to move out of it, and you don't go and try and possess another person's land. So what the people will do in those days is, the land which has been given to my family, to my tribe, well, I will mark out the boundaries using stone. But man is greedy. And so after a while, my plot of land seems so small. Wow, I see the surrounding land, the plot also very good, very fertile. But you see, my neighbors, they don't seem to be very good farmers. I seem to be a better farmer. You look at my plot, wow, all my grapes are going very nice. Not enough. What a waste, man, they have this land. I need more land. Let me try and do something. So go to the stone. Your neighbor not looking, you check. So maybe meditize my neighbor, check. Oh, it's not looking. And shift a bit. Every day shift a bit. 1 cm. After that, 10 cm, right? 10 days, 10 cm. After that, 30 cm. Shift. That is called removing, right, the landmark. And we will read a verse, right, later on from the book of Proverbs with regards to that. Now, that is called encroachment. Now, what these people did during the time of Isaiah, remember, they were persecuting the poor, isn't it? Now, there are laws with regards to how you deal with the poor. Now, when you deal with the poor, if the poor cannot pay their debts, they are allowed to become slaves to their masters. But after 7 years, they are to be released. The land in which you also take it for your own, you have to release it back to the people who become slaves unto you, unless they want to become your bond slave. But remember, the children of Israel, as well as Judah, they were persecuting their brethren. So what happened is this. they went to buy more and more and more and more of the land that is surrounding them, oppressing the poor people around them, and now they are joining house to house the pieces of land that ought not to have belonged to them. And they make themselves a property tycoon when God says, you are not allowed to be one. Now that is the key. The Lord says, you are not allowed to do this because I have given you the plot of land, and the plot of land is yours and not another person's. You therefore don't go and try to obtain another person's land by any means. This was something that was very ingrained in the hearts of the children of Israel. Now, they know it at least to be wrong. And that is why when you look at the book of 1 Kings chapter 21 with regards to Ahab. Now, remember Ahab wanted the vineyard of a person that is called what? Naboth. Remember? The vineyard of Naboth. Now, Naboth told him, I am not allowed to give you the vineyard even if I wanted to, because it's the Lord's inheritance for me. Then Ahab became very, very disconsolate because he wanted the vineyard so badly, and then he was so sad. But he did not take any action because he knew in his heart that whatever Naboth had said, this was indeed the case with regards to Israel. The Lord has given the inheritance to this particular person. It's their inheritance, you cannot touch. But in comes Jezebel. Now, Jezebel did not come from Israel. Jezebel was actually from a foreign land, a Phoenician queen. Then she came and then she scolded Ahab. You stupid Ahab. Of course, she didn't use the word stupid. The word stupid is not written there, but basically, that is the kind of tone that she was using. In the country in which I came from, the kings just simply took what they wanted. Well, that's what monarchs do in the world, right? I want that particular land. I'm the monarch. How dare you deny me the piece of the land? If I want, I just grab. And that's what Ahab meant to do. He went and then he killed Naboth and then took the vineyard of Naboth for himself, right? That's what Ahab did. And that is what is the sin that is listed down here in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. The people were not satisfied with the lot that they have. Then they went by any means to try and obtain all the surrounding pieces of land that they can get. So much so that now they are having houses joined to houses. And field that lay to field. And so therefore the Lord was very, very angry with regards to this. You turn with me now, especially to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 10, which will summarize whatever that is said down here in Isaiah. Right, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 10. And here the Bible says, remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Do you see that? The old landmark will be the boundary stones, which people will sometimes try to cheat and move into the land of the other person so that he may expand his own land. So take note. Okay, this will be the sin of encroachment. Just that in verses 8 to 10, it occurs in an even far greater scale. So take note of all these things. Now the question then is, today, how may we fall into the sin of encroachment? Recently, you read the newspaper of a private house that built a lot of, they have this, a lot of artifacts that were beautify the town, and then in the end, they had all their artifacts going out of their house and even onto the road pavements and everything, and then the people went to appeal to the government because the government found out about it and then went to deal with it. And it says, you better take away all these things because you are taking up the pathways where the common people will walk. Then some people went to appeal, says that, if you take away all these things, this is, you'll be taking away the heritage of this private residence. Do you read about it? I think if you read the newspaper, you will find this case. Now, how many of you think that the government is very austere to do that? I am not sure what is your view about it, but at least for me, I think that the government is doing the right thing. Why? Because you did not even apply for the permit to go into the common pathway. The common pathway, yeah, you say that, oh, actually I'm beautifying the town and everything. But the common pathway is not meant for you to build. What you're actually doing is you are encroaching into other areas that is meant for the general public. Now, if you want, the proper way to do it is what? Before you even put the thing there, you go and apply for the permit from the government. True? You should go and apply for the permit from the government. It does not belong to you. You don't go and build your things until you encroach into another area. No matter how nice it is and no matter how people praise the artifacts that have gone out of the boundaries of the house, that is actually called encroachment. In a HDB blocks, it's even more common, especially if you live in those HDB that have common corridors. Nowadays, I think the modern blocks, they start to go back to point block, right? True? Even then, point block, there is still some way to encroach, like, if you want. If it happened at the point block, if you all remember the place that I stayed, just beside, I have a neighbor, right? So if the neighbor, the door is close by, nah, you still can encroach a little bit. But common corridor is most common. I used to stay at along common corridor. But thankfully, along the place where I only have one neighbor on the other side. Then after that, the lift. Then after that, one whole long row of common corridor. But I observe how the people use their common corridor. So after a while, you start off with a few plants, right? Correct? A few plants along the common corridor for your site, which you can use, right? The government allows it. You build a few plants down there. After that, not enough space. I still have a bicycle, you know. And then houses in Singapore so small, no place to build. And then I have a dream to have a nice garden. Now I only have a space to build, to plant a few orchids or hibiscus or whatever you plant. Right? I want more. Then slowly, put a plant, try market first. Put a plant closer to your neighbor's house. Put there. Hey, neighbor never say anything. Put some more. Put some more. I put until you go over to the other side. That is called encroachment. You can very easily do that. Not only in terms of HDB, but of course you know that there can be further applications with regards to work. Right? What is not belonging to yours, you want to take. You encroach upon somebody's property and work and you try and snatch it from them, especially in the field of business. Right, you should know it is very, very possible. Right, you try and use all kinds of dirty tactics in order to get a person to sell the business to you. Now, it may be legal in the eyes of the Lord, in the eyes of the land, but it does not mean that as a Christian yet you should do that. Now, if you can convince by a fair deal for the person to sell, it's another thing. But let's say, if the person refuses to sell, then you try and use all kinds of tactics to oppress and then you force the person to have that business to be under you. Even if that person does not want, now there is no choice, he has to park it under your name. Now that is called encroachment. That is foul business tactics. That is exactly what the children of Israel tried to do in Isaiah chapter 5. So bear that in mind. And of course, with regards even to the work of the Lord in terms of a ministry, it's also the same. Never ever try to encroach on the ministry of another person and try to take it away from them just because you are jealous and you want to have that ministry to be under yourself. That can easily be done, especially if you know that the Lord hasn't called you to be in the area and then you try to encroach into another person's arena. That is encroachment. Please bear that in mind. Okay? So, verses 8 to 10, please take note of this. And one thing that we should try to take note is, do not ever, because you see a person having a good ministry and you want it for yourself, thereby try to destroy another person and then after that swallow the ministry and then claim it to be your own. Don't do that. It is a very, very grave sin. And you cause lives of people to suffer, souls to be destroyed. You just simply stick to whatever the Lord has told you to do and to do it well. Do it faithfully. So take note, that will be the application with regards to the sin of encroachment. So first group of people to be condemned, the encroachers. second group of people to be condemned. Verses 11 to 17. That will be the second woe that is pronounced down here. Oh, by the way, I have yet to explain with regards to the judgment of these people that were encroachers. Now you watch. In my ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses will be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitants. So you have many of these houses, but too bad, these houses, they will not have anybody living in them. They will be made empty, they will become ruins. And then with regards to the vineyard which you wish to have for yourselves, 10 acres of vineyard will yield one bath. Now, how big is 10 acres of vineyard? I believe that 10 acres of vineyard is about the size of 10 football fields. 10 football fields is a lot, right? You want to know how big a football field? You just look at our neighbor ITE Simei, right? That is where David is working. ITE Simei, just across. You go and take a look. Does SUTD also have a field? You go and take a look at the field. Then you have in your mind that size of the field, and then you multiply by 8. Now, with this amount of vineyard, you only can have one bath. That means one equivalent to 5 liters of grape juice. How much is 5 liters of grape juice? How many of you here drink fresh milk? You drink fresh milk, yes? You ever bought fresh milk? You know fresh milk comes in what size? You all know? See, all the young people stand. Only the adults know. Young people don't go to market. Do you all follow your parents, go NTUC and buy, or you just let your parents go and buy and you all don't bother to look? As long as got food on the table, very happy already. Huh? Young people, you all must go and do all these things, okay? 1 liter, okay? Go to open your daddy and mommy's fridge and then go and check, okay? Surely there must be something that of that size. 1 liter, 5 1-liter cartons. And that's it. That's very little, you know. Normally for our Lord's Supper in Tabernacle, how many liters do we use? Is beeping around here? No. How many of you are aware? Is Nisha? Nisha, how many liters do we use? 1 liter, right? So 1 liter for our Lord's Supper. So 5 Sundays. No more grape juice for Lord's Supper. And you imagine you have the size of 8 football fields, not only left that amount. That is the Lord drying up whatever he can dry up with regards to the vineyard. So you are covetous, you are greedy, you try to encroach on what is not yours. This will be the consequences of your sin. So take note. Okay, the Lord really means business with regards to all these things. Okay, and with regards to the rest of the sins, you will realize, yes, he really indeed means business. Verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink and continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp, and the viol, and the tabret, and the pipe, and the wine are in their feast. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Can you see that? Okay, now, here it begins with talking about strong drink. Strong drink will be drink that contains very high amount of alcohol, high percentage of alcohol. Now, later on, this very same sin of drinking alcohol will be condemned by the Lord in verse 22 onwards. So when we reach verse 22, which I do not know whether today we can reach, but when we reach there, we will deal with it, okay? Because here, the main emphasis is not just on drink, but if you look on verse 12, it includes what? All kinds of partying. The harp, and the viol, and the tabret, and the pipe, and the wine are in their feast. But they regarded not the work of the Lord, nor considered the operation of his hands. Now, the Lord is not saying, please, you cannot have any parties. So let's say if you have a birthday celebration, you want to have a little party and you conduct it in a sober way. Of course, it is fine. No problem with regards to that. But down here, what he's trying to refer is the type of merry-making spirit that is especially brought to the extreme. And in terms of the entertainment, in terms of the thing that you do, these are the things that will inflame the lust of men. Okay, merry-making. So the second one will be merry-making. The merry-makers. In other words, these are people who eat, drink, and be merry. And that's it with regards to their life. Now, you look especially in the society in Singapore today, you will realize that increasingly there is a lot of talk about work-life balance. Now, we are not against work-life balance, of course. But you have to ask yourself, how many of those who talk about work-life balance actually really mean that they want work-life balance? Or they are actually asking for opportunities that when they go out at night, they can go to experience nightlife. And of course, when we mean nightlife, we do not mean go to night safari and spend a night there. Right? That's not what we mean. Right? When we talk about nightlife, we mean going to the pubs, going to the discotheques, going into all those places which you know are places of sin, and you go there and then you have and you while your time away. Many are now doing that, and they want that kind of life. Sadly, Christians seem to also want that today. Oh, you know, I want to take up a job so that at night, after that, I can go and experience what it means to sit there and then just pump myself with all these various wines that are down there, and then to party my time away. I want to go and zook out, and then after that, they really zonk out. They want that kind of life. That is what happened to the children of Israel in those days. Of course, in those days, don't have the kind of modern discotheque or these kind of lights, but they have their very own binge parties. And they will want to engage themselves in these kind of parties almost every day of their lives. That is very bad. Now, to go for one is already bad enough, but this is a matter of life for them. And then, when the Lord decides to rebuke them, when the Lord decides to show His hand in their lives and try to chastise them and bring them back unto Himself, the Bible here says, they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. In other words, they become so drunk in their merrymaking that when the Lord tries to, for example, show with regards to circumstances in their life, His hand, His presence, that they are so obtuse, they are so dense, they just cannot see it. Spiritually, they are almost as good as blind. In fact, later on you will see many of them are in fact blind. They just cannot see. They just cannot see. Have you ever seen a person that is so involved in the things of the world? At first, last time when he was younger, he seems to be a very fervent and very zealous Christian. After that, having tasted his first pay pocket, and after that, having gone to party life, now you try to talk anything spiritual to him, and it just doesn't seem to enter into his mind. You say that this thing is a sin. What sin? What is wrong? You mean God's word say it's wrong? No, no, what? This passage where God say it is wrong. It's like this, like this, like this. Have you ever encountered such a person? That is exactly what can happen to a person if he becomes so enamored, so addicted to merrymaking, that when somebody tries to talk to him about anything with regards to God's word, he just simply cannot see. And even when the Lord tries to send chastisement into his life, all kinds of maybe illnesses, perhaps taking away of certain things, certain circumstances in life, it's so clear that the Lord is trying to tell him, please stop whatever you are doing. The person just cannot see. And that's what we mean by they regard not the work of the Lord. In other words, they have no concern with anything to do with God's word and God's work. And with regards to the operation of His hands, with regards to the work of the Lord in their lives, they cannot even sense it. They are totally desensitized. Very, very frightening, isn't it? And this is found in Israel. Can this also be found in church? Sadly, yes. Sometimes there can be people who are so steep in your sin that later on when you go to talk to them, of course, they may be friendly. They may be very sociable. But when you try to talk to them about their sin, they just simply cannot see that it is a sin. And that is very, very frightening because you have like this cloak that is placed over the person's eyes. And we must pray that this kind of cloak will never, never, ever come upon our eyes. Certain things that are done wrong in the congregation, it is clearly wrong. God's word says so. And yet, Huh? What is wrong, huh? Why you say it's wrong, huh? That is very, very scary. But these people, they were like that. And why? Because of verse 13. You watch. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. They have no knowledge. In other words, there are so many among the children of Israel that in general, with regards to the corporate body of Israel and Judah, the Lord says there is no spiritual knowledge in them. In other words, many of them are spiritually dead. No wonder they cannot see the hand of God in their lives. Right? When you try to talk to to people who are spiritually dead about God's word, about the truth, you realize that you cannot really talk to them. True? Sometimes you even share the gospel to them, they cannot understand the gospel. You want to talk to them certain things about the Christian view of things, they just cannot understand. You just take a look, for example, at the whole issue of homosexuality. You try to talk about the homosexual problem with regards to people who may not be Christians, you will realize that now, especially in Singapore, they will take you to be a person who supports hate. True? You try to talk to them that it is a sin, they will say that, what sin, what sin? You are a sinner, how can you therefore don't accept the homosexual? Love, you know, love, love, accept them. Yeah, not only the homosexuals, no, not only the lesbians, but the bisexual, the gays, the transsexuals, and now got Q also, the queer. Don't know what they mean by queer. Don't know what kind of sex, the sex of what fish sex or what bull sex, don't know what they say. It's all kinds of funny things in the world. Must accept all these people. And lo and behold, right, they use the sign of the rainbow to represent all this kind of acceptance. True? Just talk to a friend as I was sending her back together, right, in the church van with my wife, right, sending her back. And then she was saying that when she went to Boston, and then she don't dare to join the other churches because many of the churches had already turned liberal. And many of the churches down there, they were supporting this movement. Right? They have all this rainbow sign being placed outside of their churches to accept all these things. Now, you talk to somebody out there who does not know the Lord now. It is very natural for them to say, hey, what is this? You are trying to say that homosexual is wrong. What is wrong? It's just something that is genetic. What sin? It's not a sin. It's just a genetic makeup. It's just how the person is. How can you say all these things? They just cannot see, right? Of course, there can be many, many other issues. Just this one particular issue. Now, these are people with no spiritual knowledge, and so therefore they behave that way. Now, you just consider what this friend of mine has said with regards to these rainbows that are hung outside of the churches. And of course, when they have all these rainbows, they are not hanging it as the sign of the covenant, right, of the Noah's covenant. Right? Remember the rainbow, the bow? Right? But they have a different meaning altogether. In this congregation, we accept all these people and they are all Christians. Now, we are not saying that, for example, if a homosexual walks into tabernacle, we may have that happening next time. Homosexual walks into tabernacle, they say, hey, sorry, tabernacle, homosexual cannot come in, please get out. No, of course not. You have the homosexual to come in and then you preach the gospel to that person and you pray that the person will believe. But at the same time, we must be very, very biblical with regards to our understanding of homosexuality. And the Bible makes it clear, especially in Romans chapter 1, right, that when a person has this homosexual feelings to another person, that is a sign of God's judgment. It's a judgment of a reprobate mind. In other words, when a person says, I'm a homosexual, it's a very clear sign that the person is not born again. And so what should you do in love? What you do in love is to preach the gospel to the person, explain to the person why homosexuality is a sin. It's actually a judgment of a reprobate mind. But there is repentance in the Lord. You pray for the person and ask the person to, right, to know Christ Jesus. And then when the person truly believes, you will find that, oh, all these things can be got rid of. And I personally know at least one person in my life, At one point, a stage in her life, she proclaimed herself to be a lesbian, and she was hanging out with some of her girlfriends, you know, having that kind of life. But after that, she saw a man, fell in love with the man, now totally straight. What genetic makeup? Nothing to do with genetic makeup. It is a sin, plain and simple. Now, the people of the world cannot see. But when it is in the church and the church cannot see, that is where it is so frightening. And that's why they are merrymaking. Why are they merrymaking, enjoying all this sinful lifestyle, indulging in the flesh, you know, and then having all the kinds of sexual parties out there in the world? It's because they cannot even see that it is sin. To them, what's wrong with me enjoying the sexuality of my body? What is it? What is sin? How can you say it is a sin when I can go out and then while my time away and then in the morning I wake up, I am so happy? You say all these things are sin? I just cannot understand. It's just making the full use of my life. And churches will say that, and churches will promote it, and they will say that it is not a problem. Because during the time of Israel, they also say it's not a problem. And the reason is given is this. And that is something that we also have to understand, that many in churches today, they are not even born again, plain and simple. Not even born again. They have no spiritual knowledge in them. Please do not think that what has happened to Israel cannot happen in the church today. It can. And this is the sad state of our affairs in Christianity. And we must wake up to it and make sure that we in our lives, we also do not fall into it. And that's why as long as, you know, we continue to be a Bible preaching, practicing and believing church, we must never cease to preach the gospel. Neither should we assume that everyone in the congregation that comes, yet even those that say that, oh no, I believe in Christ, you know, I'm born again, is necessarily born again. Because they may not be. They may be spiritually blind. And you just simply say that I'm a Christian because what? Oh, I'm born into a family that used to be Christian, and no, after the certain age, I am asked to affirm my faith or whatever, or to baptize. You know, all my friends are baptized, so I went to baptize. Or even if the person can give the right answer, we must never assume that the person is really born again. Sometimes they may just say it for the fact that they just want to be around. And lo and behold, if you study the scriptures very carefully, you realize that, yeah, even pastors and teachers, elders, prophets, they can also be unregenerate. These are what we call the false ones. And these are the people that cause the judgment to happen with regards to Israel. And so how sad. My people are going to captivity. Why? Because they really do not know me. Oh, we pray that this will not be the case of any one of you down here. We pray that this will also not be the case with regards to Tabernacle BP Church. Pray very hard. We will not degenerate unto that state. For Israel, because of that, went into captivity. Of course, for us today in local churches, easy. Just snatch off the light from us, and that's it. We may call ourselves a church, but we are actually no longer a church. Should take note of it. Okay, I would like to go on. But it is now 6:25. Right? We start off a little later because of the meeting, and we do not want to extend your time too much longer down here. And so when we come back, we will deal with the other sins that are listed in Isaiah chapter 5. You have the presumptuous, you have the perverters or the tongue twisters, you have the proud, and lastly, you have the champion drinkers. Right, the champion drinkers. So may the Lord help us as we continue to study His Word. Right now, I'd like to ask Deacon Bohao to close us in prayer. Deacon Bohao, please.